Hear the words of the prophet Isaiah. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Hear now the word of God as it comes to us from the Gospel of Mark. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And Jesus went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The word of the Lord. By my count, these 10 verses from Mark's gospel contain 29 verbs. We are still in the first chapter, and already the gospel is breathless with Mark's fast pace. Each of the four gospel writers has a certain theological perspective on the life of Jesus, and they all have their own literary style in the telling. If Matthew invites us to sit down and listen to long sermons like the Sermon on the Mount, and Luke saunters from one dinner party to another, then Mark's gospel sprints more like a track meet, moving swiftly, as if the news about Jesus is so good it's hard to get it out fast enough. Not only is Jesus moving quickly from synagogue to homes to neighboring towns, but the crowds are also swelling rapidly wherever he goes. When Jesus has to sneak out in the middle of the night just to be alone for some prayer time, the disciples hunt for him, saying, "Everyone is searching for you." Wherever he goes, Jesus demonstrates remarkable power. A power capable of many wonderful things, but it is known above all else as the power to heal. He heals a man with an unclean spirit, disrupting worship in the synagogue. He heals Simon's mother-in-law. He casts out demons and heals diseases. He takes people by the hand and raises them up. No wonder everyone is searching for him. It is what we search for in Jesus too, isn't it? Healing of body and spirit. Next to our prayers of thanksgiving, I imagine prayers for healing are often at the top of the list. We pray for God to take fleeting illnesses away. We beg God for cures of cancer. We yearn to be healed of many forms of brokenness in our lives, in our relationships, and even in the world. We ask God to take away all kinds of pain. And when the time is come, we pray for the ultimate healing that only death can bring, to free us from those things that can never be cured and take us to that realm where mourning and crying and pain will be no more. Everyone is searching for you, they said to Jesus, and anyone who has ever prayed for healing understands their sense of urgency, because we know what it's like to long for the healing Jesus offers. James Kugel has put that yearning into words as well as anyone I've read in a long time. Kugel is professor emeritus of Hebrew literature at Harvard University. His book, In the Valley of the Shadow, recalls his journey following being diagnosed at the age of 54 with an aggressive form of cancer. Kugel uses an image that expresses so well what people experience when they get such a terrible diagnosis. He writes, "The main change in my state of mind was that, I can't think of a better way to put it, the background music suddenly stopped. It had always been there, the music of daily life that's constantly going, the music of infinite time and possibilities, and now suddenly it was gone, replaced by nothing, just silence. When his regular daily rhythm suddenly became planned around pills to take and doctor's appointments and finding shortcuts to the hospital and the best place to park, that's what it felt like. The background of infinite time and possibilities, that music had turned to silence." No wonder the demon-possessed man and Simon, on behalf of his mother-in-law and people of the neighboring towns, grew in number and clamored after Jesus for what he heals, because they had experienced and come to believe that Jesus can turn the background music on again. The music of daily life that trusts there is a good future with infinite possibilities. That is the kind of healing Jesus offers. Do we experience it as getting well? Of course we do, sometimes. Do we call it being cured? That too, sometimes. But we also know that what we receive from Jesus is more than being cured or getting well. There is more to what he heals. That's why when someone like actor Michael J. Fox, who has struggled very publicly with Parkinson's disease, can say, "For everything this disease has taken, something with greater value has been given. Sometimes it's just a marker that points me in a new direction that I might not otherwise have traveled. So sure, it may be one step forward and two steps back. But after a time with Parkinson's, I've learned that what is important is making that one step count, always looking up." Jesus seems to bring the background music on again and to have people always looking up from their plight in life toward a new notion of hopefulness. Looking up from their pallets and wheelchairs and beds toward a new form of healing, looking up and seeing in Jesus that something greater than a cure for this or that particular illness, something altogether more significant is happening than sick people simply getting well. There is a hint as to what that is in our scripture reading this morning when Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law. Listen to this again. They entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then her fever left her, and she began to serve them. Now, haven't you always thought it curious that as soon as she's healed, the poor woman is back in the kitchen serving the men? Maybe she'd rather have stayed in bed with her fever and the remote control and a stack of magazines. If she'd been so sick, then why aren't they dishing up soup for her when she's well enough to get up? It is all because there is more at stake here than what might first appear. When Jesus takes her by the hand, and the text says, and lifted her up, the word he uses to describe this action is the same word that describes Jesus' own resurrection. Here in the first chapter of the gospel, we already see what will come at the last. Jesus lifted her up. It is a parallel saying to the angel telling the women at the tomb on Easter morning, He is not here. He has been raised. He has been lifted up. When Simon's mother-in-law is raised from her fever, she is not just suddenly well. It's more than that. She becomes the first deacon in the gospel. This is not a woman bowed to cultural convention and keeping her restricted place as the one who runs the kitchen. She becomes a disciple who quietly demonstrates the high honor of service for anyone else who will follow Jesus. Simon's mother-in-law is raised. She is resurrected to the role of deacon, a servant of Jesus Christ who models faithfulness by what he heals. So whether you have ever been really sick or not, all of us have access to this power in Jesus Christ. In this life, we are raised to a life of meaning and service. Jane Tees is assistant professor at the Cancer Research Center at the University of South Carolina. While we lived in Columbia, she wrote about a grant she received from the Center of Disease Control to study the connection between faith and healing. The grant enabled her to hire a team to interview people about their experiences of healing power and faith. Her interviewing team talked to people about their emotions, their feelings, and the words they used to describe what happened to them when they were healed and how they understood it. They collected nearly 1,500 pages of transcripts from these interviews, which are now in the oral history collection at the Smithsonian Museum in Washington. And 44 of these stories were collected in a book called Faith That Heals. Making connections between faith and healing, in T's words, these are stories that reveal the fullness and the diversity of God. The people I talked with spoke of the curing of a physical injury or illness as secondary to the profound sense of meaning the experience gave the person. There will never be a pill that confers meaning in life, nor will there ever be explanations of why faith heals some people but not others. Since death is inevitable, even in the face of the best medical practices, our earthly endeavors are limited. However, she concludes, there is a clear difference between the secular condition that medicine could cure or not, and the spiritual condition that only God could heal. In these stories, we heard God is active. sometimes appearing unexpectedly, sometimes healing in timeless ways almost identical to those described in the Bible. Sometimes God serves as a comforter in times of trouble. Sometimes God is at the beck and call of the petitioner, responding to desperate pleas, to awkward reproaches, or to someone who bargains for healing in return for faithful service. Through all these different experiences, she finds this common thread: a strong sense of grace, that elusive quality of mercy, pervades all these tales. You know, I think that's why Mark's gospel moves us so quickly from one healing story to another. Mark wants us to know that Jesus is God with us, up close, in person, moving through our lives, touching our wounds, raising us to new life, equipping us to be deacons, all of us servants who share in this healing ministry. Whatever the background music of daily rhythms, whenever they have been silenced by some dreadful diagnosis or whatever it is that ails us, Jesus comes to restore the hopeful sound of infinite possibilities. For, as he says to those who search for him, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message of good news there also. For that is what I came to do." Amen.